The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Go higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos. I've got Lexi in studio with me, Lexi Brinkley. Even Marie Early is here today, the whole team. And a special guest, Maria Johnson, is in studio with us. We've got quite a show lined out for you. Cassie Bjork will be here today. Maria's actually going to be talking about how virtual reality technology can help kids build social skills. Maria and I were at the lecture series with Skip Rizzo, who talked about virtual reality to help PTSD back several months ago at the Center for Brain Health, or the Brain Performance Institute. That's the new name of it, right? Is that the new name? Get us straight on this, would you, Maria?
I absolutely will, yes. So the Center for Brain Health is our research institute that's part of the University of Texas at Dallas, right? And so the Brain Performance Institute was created by Sandra Chapman,
yes,
who is our fearless leader.
And lovely leader she is.
She is my inspiration. I moved across the country to come work by her side because I saw her give a TED Talks and I was like, I have to be there.
Yeah.
How can I be part of this amazing program?
She is. And she's done so much to help brain health across the world, not just here in Dallas. And we are very honored to have the Center for Brain Health and the Brain Performance Institute right here in Dallas. So, and it's great to have you in studio. I can't wait to get started with your segments. You know, we do a lot of things here that are really important to us. And one of them, one of the most important things to me is the work that we do on One Life Radio to help animals. So we've got Patty Dawson on the show today. She's going to open with us. She started volunteering with Dallas Dogger in 2014, and Dallas Dogger established their nonprofit status in 2015. It's one of my favorite organizations that I support. And Patty began running the rescue in January of 2016. And in her real work outside of her volunteer work, she is a behavior specialist, a mom, and a wife. So we've all got a lot in common here. So welcome back, Patty. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And I love what we're talking about today, because so many people really don't understand the impact that even one rescue, rehabilitation, and reform with animals, so many animals out there that typically would get euthanized, and the powerful work that you do at Dallas Dogger. So let's talk about breeding. I saw on your Dallas Dogger Instagram a picture of a dog named Lizzie, and she's an English bulldog who was used for breeding. And so how often do you come across dogs being used for breeding, and what is their condition like?
We get a lot of breeder dogs. Usually a lot of our pit bulls, bulldogs, we see a lot of even cheese and all the, you know, every pretty much a lot of backyard breeders. And they usually come to us pretty overbred, not taking care of their teeth, are filed down. They've been in kennels for a long time. And they usually come to us with some kind of tumors or cancer. Mm. So many people, you know, just going to put this little punchline in, of spaying neutering. Many times we hear that whole spay neuter changes the dog and all of that. The spay neuter is not just about testosterone. It's also about dogs that are not spayed and neutered. It's a health concern, because these mammary tumors, and they also come with paramecia, which both are deadly to dogs. So, and those both can be prevented when spaying the dogs.
Well,
so, and I just learned that by doing rescue. Like, I didn't know that, you know, I had thought, oh, you know, I was on the same believer before I did rescue, like, oh, although we did spay and neuter. But a lot of those breeders come sick, old, ragged, run down, underweight, usually, and take a lot of nursing to get back to health.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a lot of breeders out there. And there's, you know, what's funny is, like, three of the dogs that I have rescued in the last almost 3 years now. So I'm thinking of Jeff and Brad, and then Susie or Susan. All three of them are purebred Shih Tzus that came straight off the street, you know? And so there's so many beautiful animals out there, and it wouldn't even matter to me. I found them running down the road. I picked them up, couldn't find their owners. There was no identification, no microchip, no nothing. I fell in love with them, ended up keeping them. And so, but there are so many purebred dogs out there, aren't there?
We have a ton in our rescue right now. I probably have four English bulldogs.
Oh, wow.
I have, and I say pure to the fact that we know pure. I mean, we don't run DNA.
Right, like right.
That. But when you look at them, you're pretty certain that there are. We have several. I had a Shih Tzu. We have a Havanese. I had Cocker Spaniels. I have Bassets, tons of Beagles. We have currently a Doberman, purebred Doberman. All these came from breeders, backyard breeders that have dumped them at the shelter. I actually had a breeder that dumped a puppy. She's in my care, little Bubbles. She's a bulldog mix. They say she was a pure bulldog, but when I look at her, you can tell she's mixed with something. But she was taken to the vet because she couldn't walk right when she was a puppy. Mm. And they said she had swimmers and they were going to euthanize her, but the shelter called us. And I have her in my care now. And she's 5 months old. And she runs around and plays. She's a wild animal.
But, yeah.
You know, and then you just hear it all the time, like, oh, I want a purebred. And I'm like, well, you know, there's purebred rescues, which are fantastic. But if you check just with your local rescues, they guarantee you have probably, we have labs. That's our probably number one return dog.
Yeah.
It's purebred labs.
Well, I'm thinking of a story. I was sitting at a table with friends and family back several years ago at Maggiano's at North Park, and someone at the table said, oh, I'm going to go, and they were talking about getting, you know, like a little perfect little pretty little, you know, purebred dog. I don't even remember what the breed was, and I spoke up and said, why would you do that when there's so many animals getting euthanized in this country every single week, tens of thousands of them? Why would you do that? Anyway, make a long story short, they went to the shelter from my suggestion and found the most beautiful dog that you could possibly imagine, all white, one brown eye, one blue eye. They named her Bliss, or Blissy, I think, and she's a wonderful pet. So there's so many stories out there. There's so many beautiful animals out there that need homes. You don't have to go to a breeder, right?
Well, and then you don't. And kind of just to spin off that, a lot of people I hear, going through rescue. That's funny, a topic that we heard the other day from somebody. They're like, I don't want to go through a rescue because my life is torn apart. I don't want to be picked over and told what dog, if I'm a good owner, not a good owner. Because a lot of people don't like to go through rescues because they are a little tougher to get a dog.
Yeah.
With good reason. And I get that. I totally get that. We're a little bit lighter, you know, but we also understand, and our dogs are medical, so a lot of them take good placement.
Mm-hmm.
But just alone yesterday, I went early to Dallas Animal Services down in Dallas. I choose to stay out of shelter because I would take them all.
Yeah.
But I walked through and I did a live video, and I also we just got a Boston Terrier too, purebred from the backyard breeder. But
wow.
We walked the shelter, and I have to say, I probably saw 20 purebred huskies.
Really?
German shepherds, several Australian shepherds, you name it, they're there. And close enough to a breed that someone can be like, that's a purebred dog.
Mm-hmm.
Like they, you know, claim it. Shih Tzus. I saw a purebred Cocker Spaniel, a purebred long-haired dachshund.
Wow.
I mean, so if that's what they're looking for, walk your shelters.
You're making me think of so many funny stories. So when you said that, well, huskies, first of all, huskies are notorious for getting out. You know, they are. They're little devils. I'll just tell you that. And I've rescued a few. One was like, I don't know, probably 30 years ago when I first moved here. This is back when people used to put ads in the newspaper when they would actually find a dog under the lost and found.
Yes,
and so
yes.
This is such a funny story. So I put the ad in the paper, and it was, I put husky and then male. And I forget what the rest of it was.
Husky male,
and you know, found or something like that. And anyway, a guy called and said, hey, I heard you need a husky male, you know. I'm guessing it's a stocking or loading job or something like that. And it was about the dog, but it was, I don't know, you just made me think of it. It was actually funnier then than it is now. But and I thought of my cat Clementine when you were talking about so many animals that are even disabled. My little cat Clementine is the most beautiful little orange and white tabby and the sweetest little thing you'd ever see. She was getting ready to be put down. She was completely disabled in her back legs when I got her. And now she, you know, she does pretty well. She gets around, and it's funny, she'll build her upper body strength by climbing up my chairs, which I don't really like, but you know that, you know, you can't do anything about it. But she's a wonderful little pet, you know, just wonderful. And she came out of a shelter and she was disabled, and it's the best feeling in the world when you can help an animal like that.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, like I say to people there, I mean, funny story, my brother went, his sister runs one of the largest rescues in Dallas, went and wouldn't be patient, and one of these two white shepherds, mm-hmm. you know, had to have them. And he went to a backyard breeder and got them. In his case, he said, I saved them. I'm like, okay. And,
yeah.
You know, but then, of course, he got them. And after he had two, which I said, two's too many. You're going to regret it. Going two shepherds, same thing, huskies, high energy, got to keep them busy, break mm-hmm. out, be busy. Calls me and says, I need your help to rehome one. And, you know, but it happens. But
it does.
You know, and that's kind of something to touch on is we've tried to help a lot of those people that are surrenders are high. They said, they said they're high right now. So we try to help them as well, because many of them are surrendering for medical purposes, or they can't afford the dog, or way too much to handle. So, you know, we're trying to look at adding into our reform process of trying to help those people keep their dogs so that they don't have to keep returning them to the shelter.
Yeah. I used to say that people will turn around and put the dog back in the shelter before they've even put, you know, paid for it on their visa. So many people buy even dogs, a lot of stuff they don't need. And an animal is not a piece of property. It is a living, beautiful thing that needs a full, rich, protected, loving life. And so I encourage everyone out there listening, if you're thinking about getting a foofy dog or, you know, a designer dog, think again. And do the right thing and go to a shelter and adopt an animal that desperately needs a home and needs your love. I'm a little passionate about it, Patty. I'm not as nice as you.
It's good. And if they don't see it at a rescue, like you said,
that's right.
If you go to a rescue and you don't see it, we always try to match you up with a dog. So, like, if you think you want this dog, we'll work you through. Maybe you don't really want that dog. But we'll also are in constant communication with shelters around and know what dogs are there. So we will find you the match. So you don't have to resort to a breeder and I'm going to just leave this, because people do go to breeders.
Yeah, they do.
So
unfortunately.
If you are going to go to a breeder, you know, because people are. I would love to say that they should be shut down, but some will still go to a breeder. Check to make sure. Always ask to see the mom dog. Ask to see the condition of their living in. If they are not willing to show you that information or show you where they're at, most likely you're getting a backyard breeder, and those are congenitally a nightmare.
Yeah.
And I'm going to always have problems.
And I'm going to catch a lot of hell for saying this, but if you are a breeder, go out and get a real job, okay? So
well, I'll second that, but if you do research.
No, it's so true. So great to have you on there. Thanks, Patty.
Thank
we'll
you.
talk to you soon. Okay.
Bye.
Thanks, sister. Bye. Stay tuned, everyone. We've got a great show coming up with Cassie Bjork and Maria Johnson. We're going to be talking about everything you want to know about carbs and how virtual reality and technology can help kids build social skills. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, Ketogenic Metabolic Nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. I thought. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I've got Aviana, Lexi, and Marie all in studio with me. Maria Johnson as well, her upcoming segment on virtual reality. And I've got Cassie Bjork on the line. Everything you wanted to know about carbs, Cassie's going to tell us. She is a globally recognized industry leader in weight loss and a highly sought-after speaker. She is the number one international best-selling author of Why Am I Still Fat? The Hidden Keys to Unlocking That Stubborn Weight Loss. Cassie speaks not wildly, but widely, and contributes to a regular column, Real Talk with Dietitian Cassie, in Paleo Magazine. Her website is cassie.net. That's cassie.net. Always a pleasure. How are you doing today, Cassie?
I'm doing so wonderful. It's great to be back with you today, Bern.
Yeah, no, I love this. You know, people, carbs are getting such a bad rap. They really, really are. And I think people are just, you know, kind of bewildered or confused as to what carbs are good, what carbs are bad. Are they really as bad as, you know, people want to make them out to be, especially with all this keto craze going on? I still think...
All the low-carb diet.
Yeah, and the low-carb diet, that goes for paleo too. You know, they're low-carb, yep. You know. But, you know, often people cut out carbs, good carbs, right, when trying to lose weight. Is that the right thing to do? And how do our bodies process these carbs?
Yeah, let's talk all about carbs. You know, I think there's a lot of hate on carbohydrates. And the reality is that we do need some carbohydrates. There are parts of our brains that actually run on glucose, which is what all carbs turn into in our body. And, you know, we find, and you know, I work with specifically women who want to lose weight and keep it off. And we find with a lot of our women who are doing too strict of a low carb diet, or mm-hmm. if they're just not eating enough carbohydrates, it's harder for them to lose weight. Not to mention, we typically don't feel super great when we're not getting enough carbohydrates, because then our body just kind of starts to conserve its energy resources, because that's what carbs are. They really are energy. They turn to sugar right when they hit our bloodstream. So of course, we don't want too many of them, but we do need some carbohydrates.
Yeah.
So I think it's good to dive into like which ones are better than others and how they affect our body and our weight and all the things.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more, you know, and I think about pizza, one of my favorite carbohydrates, mm-hmm. And it being mm-hmm. Friday and I'm jonesing for a pizza really bad.
Totally. Well, and I think that it can take some time and like reprogramming of our brain to switch from always thinking of, we typically think of carbs as pizza, bread, rice, and pasta, and, you know, yeah, some of those carbs we don't really need a lot of, that's for sure.
Well,
but and go ahead, yeah.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say there are, like, some really good, healthy carbohydrates that do provide a lot of nutrients and antioxidants and don't have as much of an impact on our blood sugar levels, and that's really what we're going for here is, you know, I mentioned all carbs turn to sugar in our body, so a lot of times our knee-jerk reaction is, okay, well, let's just avoid all the carbs because, you know, sugar's bad for us. But the reality is we want to have carbohydrates that just like have a slower effect on our blood sugar levels, meaning it's kind of like nice rolling hills of blood sugars instead of like the huge sugar rush and like the big spikes and drops. That's what really wreaks havoc on our energy levels and our metabolism. We want to get the carbs that kind of like slowly release and absorb in our bloodstream throughout the day. And that's where we get those consistent energy levels. And it actually helps your metabolism because that's what helps to release your fat burning hormone called glucagon, whereas like the opposite of glucagon, if there were like an opposing hormone, that's the one called insulin. And we know that, you know, insulin can lead to type 2 diabetes if our pancreas produces too much of it. And it produces a lot of it if we've got a lot of sugar and a lot of carbs coming in at once.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what we want to do is we want to just lower the amount of sugar that we're, you know, pumping into our bloodstream. And we can do that by eating these carbs that are released lower over time.
Well, you know, it's funny. So many, we talk about this all the time. We've talked about it for years. And a lot of people, though, don't have any idea what even the glycemic index is because they've mm-hmm. never been told. Mm-hmm. You know, they've never talked about it, or maybe it wasn't important, or they never, you know, had a weight problem, but maybe after having a baby, you know, and that's where I first heard about glycemic index. It was with my OBGYN. And he gave out a list of foods that were high glycemic index that makes sure your blood sugar spike. And I really didn't know a lot about it, actually. But so many people don't understand glycemic index. So can you explain it to them what it is and what happens in your body specifically when your blood sugar shoots up?
Yeah, exactly. So the glycemic index measures how quickly it increases your blood sugar levels. So the lower the better, so you don't get that sugar rush that I was talking about. So when we're thinking about foods that are low, it's, you know, carbohydrates, since that's what turns into sugar, those are going to be, you know, medium to high on the glycemic index. But like the low foods in general are going to be like your meats and your fats, like your oils and your nuts and your cheese, you know, eggs and fish and stuff like that. That's really low. But then when you're looking at carbohydrates, the lower glycemic index carbohydrates would be like your vegetables, especially like your non-starchy vegetables. So vegetables can be divided into two categories. Just to keep this kind of simple, we've got our starchy and our non-starchy vegetables. The starchier ones are like your corn, your peas, beets, squash, yams.
The ones that taste really good.
The ones that taste really good. You can kind of tell they're starchier. They turn into sugar. You know, the non-starchy, those are like your salad vegetables, the ones you could probably eat raw, like broccoli, cauliflower, you know, cabbage, kale, peppers, cucumbers, asparagus. Those hardly raise your blood sugar levels at all. Well, so those are going to be really low. And of course, the ones you like are going to be higher. Doesn't mean you can't have them. It just means that you're going to want to like space them out more during the day.
Right.
So maybe instead of having like, you know, I don't know, 2 cups of sweet potatoes, you have like a half a cup or a cup, and then you have the rest of the non-starchy vegetables, like those salad vegetables. And then later on, you'd have like, you know, more of the sweet potato or whatever your favorite starchy vegetables. It's just a matter of kind of balancing it out.
Well, you know what I just thought of, and I don't think I've ever asked anybody this. I'm not even sure if I've ever read about it. Maybe I have and I've forgotten, but is there any association between the level of glycemic index and the amount of serotonin that is doped, Freudian slip, doped out of your brain, like drawn out of your brain, that, you know, gives you that pleasure? And maybe that's why you're more attracted to it, based on not just the glycemic index, but the amount of serotonin that is released when you bite into that piece of pizza.
Gosh, that's such a good question. I don't have the answer to that. I think we got to refer to our friend Sean Wells for that one. He seems to know all the answers to all the things. I don't know. That's a good theory, though.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure about that.
Huh.
Yeah, well, but like, because like bananas are like, sweet potatoes, like those are going to release some of that serotonin, and those are a little bit, you know, higher on the index.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question.
It is a good question, isn't it? I think I might be onto something, and I bet there is an association because I have extreme pleasure when I eat peas with butter all over them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the butter is the good part. So kind of like when we're talking about balancing them all out, you know, the great thing is when you have more, and I always say PFC, you know, everything all over everything I do is PFC. And that's just talking about having protein and fat with your carbs. So carbs aren't bad, but every time we have them by themselves, no matter what kind of carbohydrate it is, it turns to sugar in your body. And if that's all you're having, like if you're just having like a banana, for example, all by itself, bananas aren't bad, but that's going to jack your blood sugar levels up. And then they're going to crash. And because anything that goes up must come down. And then when they crash, that's when you crave. And that's what sets you up for, like, you know, bad moods and, you know, low energy levels and weight gain. So the key is you want to make sure you're having protein and fat with your carbohydrates. So putting butter, you know, a couple tablespoons of butter or coconut oil all over those peas, that's a great way to slow the absorption and assimilation of the sugar from the carbohydrates in your bloodstream. And that's actually going to give you more consistent energy levels and, you know, not set you up for weight gain. And all you're doing is adding, you know, a tablespoon or two of butter onto your peas. It's a really, really great solution for keeping your blood sugars balanced.
Well, you know, people out there, they're sending me messages telepathically. They want to know which carbs we should be eating and which ones we shouldn't, or which ones maybe we should limit. Which ones should we be eating and which ones should we limit, Cassie?
Yeah, so let's try to limit those refined carbohydrates, the ones that really take your blood sugars for a roller coaster ride. You know, these are the ones, these are your grains, pasta, bread, rice, cereal, muffins, cakes, cookies, all those things. But what you want to do is you want to focus as much as you can on real food carbohydrates. So your vegetables and your fruits. And, you know, fruits and the starchier vegetables, like we talk about, those are going to raise your blood sugar levels the most. But it doesn't mean you have to avoid them. I would say, you know, try to have like a half a cup or so, and every time you have them, have protein and fat along with those carbohydrates. So that's kind of like the rule of thumb. If you remember one thing from this conversation, never eat a carbohydrate by itself, because then, you know, it's just spiking your blood sugar level because it's just sugar, and that sets you up for, you know, all sorts of problems. Just remember that fat help slow the absorption and digestion of the carbohydrates.
Well, that's good to know. That's really good to know, especially if you're going to eat a baked.
Yeah. bad.
Well, a baked potato, of course, it's so delicious with butter on it or sour cream and green onions. Of course, I personally don't put bacon or anything like that in it. But there's a lot of good vegan butters out there that are high in like coconut oil, like Miyoko's has a cultured European butter that's an incredible butter replacement. And I have to say, I'm a butter connoisseur and it pleases me. So
that's fantastic. There's so many good options. Yeah, I just think that, coconut oil is so great. Healthy fats are just so important for so many things. And that's going to make pretty much any carbohydrate you have work a lot better in your body.
Yeah. Well, okay. So any carb thoughts as we end this segment that you want, anything else you want people to know about carbs?
I just think we need to stop being so afraid of them. You know, and it's confusing because there's like high carb and low fat and all the different diets. But in reality, the way that we typically eat, the standard American diet, is pretty high in carbohydrates. So a low carbohydrate diet to me is just making sure you're having protein and fat with your carbohydrates.
Yeah.
So call it whatever you want. I call it eating PFC balance, but just make sure you're eating all the foods. As long as you're not just having carbs straight up all day, every day, you're going to be doing just fine. Just remember protein and fat with your carbohydrates.
One more thing, watermelon. Watermelon has one of the highest glycemic index spikes that there is of any fruit or vegetable out there. What's your advice if you're going to have a slice of watermelon at a pool party? What do you do?
Bring some string cheese, bring some guacamole with you. Just have some fat. Have a a little bit of protein, hard boiled egg or something with it.
Okay.
Watermelon is fantastic, hydrating. Yeah. It does spike your blood sugars. Just make sure you're balancing it out and enjoy it.
Yeah, that sounds good. Deviled eggs. eggs, guacamole chips, and small pieces of watermelon.
And cheese.
With
some of those non-starchy veggies. Yeah, have your cheese. Have some carrot sticks, celery sticks with the guacamole. Those are the non-starchy vegetables that hardly raise your blood sugar levels at all. And then enjoy some watermelon, too. Nice and refreshing, and you're going to get lots of antioxidants in there, too.
All right. Cassie Bjork, love you, girl. Thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Bye.
All right. Bye. And she just adopted a dog, too, by the way, from the shelter. And
she did.
What's his name?
Callie.
Her dog, Callie. She's a great girl. Stay tuned, everyone. We've got more coming up. We're going to break. Maria Johnson will be with us. When we get back, we're going to be talking about virtual reality technology and how it can help kids build social skills. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I've got the whole team in here today. I've got Lexi, Marie, Aviana, and I've got our special guest, Maria Johnson. We're going to get to it here in just a second, but I want to let everyone know that you can go to our website at oneliferadio.com to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter, or you can go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to all of our great sponsors here at One Life Radio. Great companies like Sun Warrior. It's a premium, all-natural, raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to their website, sunwarrior.com, and use the code OLR for 20% off anything that you buy from them. I love their probiotics. I love their collagen-building new... It's a powder form, and it helps to build your collagen naturally.
Yeah, it's not like just drinking collagen.
Right, yeah, it's a really good product, and it's an excellent product. Check it out at sunwarrior.com. And, of course, Honest Hemp. Their products are a natural alternative for managing your stress and reducing mild anxiety. Visit them at honesthemp.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. And the Wellbeing Journal, always full of such incredible information as well. The same for Paleo Magazine, two great publications. locations. Check them out. I buy mine. I think I get mine typically at Natural Grocers. You can pick up a copy anywhere, but or you can go online and get a subscription digitally.
Good.
Okay, and then, of course, Nature's Plate. They offer handcrafted, 100% vegan, always non-GMO, ready-to-go meals to help lighten your load if you want to save some time on your cooking. And you can order ahead, so visit them at naturesplate.com. And, of course, Thorne Research. You have higher standards, and so do we. So shop our Thorne dispensary for 20% off and shipping on every order, everything you need and everything you are. And you know that I take myself the supplement junkie last night.
Yeah.
That's who I am. I am a junkie when it comes to supplements, and I love them, and I believe in them, and I think they can absolutely change your health along with lifestyle medicine. So
yeah.
Check out all of our sponsors, great companies, and our newest sponsor, KetoMed, is the first over-the-counter clinical ketogenic and antifungal meal replacement. Find them at KetoMed.com and use the code OLR for $40 off your order and free shipping. And again, thank you to all of our sponsors, and a little shout-out to our newsletter, because we have some great content in our one that you've already lost out if you haven't signed up.
Yeah, but that's okay. We do it bi-weekly. So
bi-weekly.
If you subscribe, you'll get past shows that
Tell
were like
what they missed this last one.
Yeah,
there was
missed.
So much good stuff in there.
Yeah, I featured a couple of shows that we had that I thought really stuck out. I mean, all of our shows are great, but
yeah,
I featured a couple of shows, and then I did a recipe.
Which recipe was it?
Healthy brownies.
Yeah, they're veggie-based brownie bites.
Oh,
yeah,
they
but the information that you shared in it that's very critical is the one from Sean Wells, been a regular on the show now, going on almost 6 years, maybe over. I don't remember the actual date that he started, but it's been a long time. He is an absolute rock star in nutrition, genius. Brain,
and
you know,
he's a supplement guy.
And so he's got four tests. What was it that you?
Yeah,
put
there
in
are four labs that you, I guess, need to get done. And he says you need to get them done quarterly, and it'll just basically tell you your overall health status, how you're doing, and what you need to improve on. But it's four specific labs that are under $100 to get them all done.
Wow.
And so yeah, he gives specific tests to request. You can go to like a Quest Diagnostic. You can go anywhere and get these labs done.
Yeah, good. And so. If you miss that, if you're not in our newsletter, but
yeah.
You know, we're always putting.
We
good
can always
stuff
put it
there.
Out again.
Yeah, we can put it out again. But everyone, you know, we put good information out. So check out our newsletter at oneliferadio.com.
Our newsletter.
Letter.
I can see if we can archive them too on our website.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh, that would be cool.
That would be great. You know, I love having you in studio today. Maria Johnson, she is a master's of arts and certified in speech language pathology. She's been laughing at all my jokes. I love this girl already. So she's going to come back and be a representative for the Center for Brain Health. There's so many things that you know that we talked about like during the break. Like, tell our listeners real quick about the five and the five. Five times five or five breaks every day that
yes.
you do for your brain?
Yes. So if you want to really take care of your brain and optimize it for brain health, you want to take five brain breaks 5 times a day. And so those are 5-minute breaks that you're going to take. Don't clump them all together and take half an hour nap. That does not count. You want 5 separate 5-minute breaks.
Where you just shut your brain down and try to think about nothingness, right?
Nothingness.
And you say that you studied this at the Center for Brain Health, and you have scientific evidence that this really improves your brain function.
We sure do. We have done research for the past 20 years that's really looking at how can we optimize our brain performance.
Wow.
And one of the biggest things is that in the world of research, you can do a study and then it can sit on the shelf for up to 20 years before it gets into the hands of those that need it the most, you and I and the consumers and all of your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And so what ends up happening is that we don't access this science and this research in a way that we need that's going to affect our daily lives. So earlier you had asked, what's the difference between Center for Brain Health and Brain Performance Institute? So Brain Performance Institute is our translational arm. We are getting the research out there. We're getting it into the hands of the people that need it the most so that we can affect brain health across the country. When was the last time you went in and got your brain checked up?
Never.
Right. Right. But here we spent a whole segment,
right,
talking about our physical health. When was the last time you went to the doctor's office?
I love it. And and kudos to Sandra Bond Chapman, who is the founder and executive director of the Center for Brain Health and the Brain Performance Institute. She is an absolute rock star. And so are you. So let me tell people how fabulous you are. Maria Johnson is the director of youth and family innovations at the Brain Performance Institute. She is a speech language pathologist by training and has specialized in social cognition for the past 18 years. She is passionate about working closely with schools and students with learning differences. And Maria helps clinicians, teachers, teachers, families discover how to best support the social, emotional, and cognitive development of the youth in their lives. The website is brainperformanceinstitute.org. That's brainperformanceinstitute.org. Today, we're talking about how virtual reality technology can help kids build social skills. So, I know you work with kids ages 8 to 18 and their parents. Can you tell our listeners what you do?
Absolutely. We do a lot.
You do?
We do. But what we're most excited about is some of the work that we're doing in our Emerging Technologies Lab, which is bringing virtual technology into the fingertips of kids and young adults that are struggling socially. So we have spent a lot of time developing this virtual world that really simulates real life. We want to engage kids in social interactions just like they would have if they were going to school, if they were going to the movie theater and hanging out with friends, if they were trying to work in a group at school. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have flashbacks to middle school, you remember, right? I see lots of heads shaking. You're like, I don't want a flashback to middle school. But that's who we work with. We work with a lot of middle schoolers and high schoolers who are just trying to figure out this social thing.
Yeah.
And how do I navigate it?
And is social media made it so much more difficult now than it ever was without any actual eye contact?
So eye contact is really interesting, right? Because some people are super comfortable establishing eye contact and others aren't. And so social media actually, when used for good, can be used as a tool to enhance communication. Because I'm socially nervous or anxious, but I have a message that I want to convey to you, but I'm uncomfortable picking up the phone and making that call or setting up a coffee date or whatever it is, then I can text. Mm-hmm. And now I've broken that barrier of communication and reached out socially, which is really what we need to be doing more of today, right? Is just reaching out.
Absolutely.
Socially.
Well, I think that has, and I know that we're not talking about this, but I think all that isolation that's happening all over our country is closely connected with the rise in suicide, especially among teens. And, you know, it's a problem. It's a real problem.
Yeah, it's very devastating. Grant Halliburton Foundation is a group that I'm very, very close with. And as we look at mental health and the impact that technology can have on mental health, but our focus at Center for Brain Health is really on how can we use technology for good?
Mm-hmm.
How can we use it and apply it in a way that's going to make your brain even healthier?
And so virtual reality is one of those tools, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so how are you guys using it? Well, you know what? I'm looking at the clock. You know what? I think we're going to go to break and we're going to save it. When we come back, we're going to talk all about it. You're not going to want to miss it, you guys. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette. I've got the whole team here with me today. I've got Avi, Lexi, and Marie Early in studio with me. And I have Maria Johnson, if you're just now joining us. She is the Director of Youth and Family Innovations at the Brain Performance Institute at the Center for Brain Health here in Dallas, Texas. She is a speech-language pathologist by training, and she is specialized in social cognition, specialized in it for 18 years. She is passionate about working closely with schools, students and learning with learning differences, but you help so many clinicians, teachers, and families discover how to best support the social, emotional, and cognitive development of youth in their lives. The website that you can find Maria Johnson at is brainperformanceinstitute.org. That's brainperformanceinstitute.org. Today, we're talking about how virtual reality technology can help kids build social skills. Right before the break, you were going to tell us what you guys are doing, what exactly you are doing to improve the lives of children.
Yeah, so we have created a program called Charisma. And Charisma is a software platform combined with a clinical application that teaches kids social skills. And so we...
Which they all need.
Every single
kid needs it.
Every single adult needs them.
Yeah.
We all grow up, right?
Yeah.
And so one thing that we've really been curious about is how can we create a safe and motivating platform for kids to practice things like bullying or stranger danger, or interviewing for jobs, negotiating in the workplace, dealing with college roommates. And so all of these types of social interactions that we just kind of throw our kids into, and we hope that we've prepared them. But we don't truly know until they're in the midst of the experience how they're going to respond socially, emotionally, and behaviorally.
Well, it's interesting. And, you know, my mind just has popped into my head because we've had such incredible authors on the show, like Jonathan Haidt, who wrote the book, co-wrote it with...
Greg Lukianoff,
who's they've both been on the show, Coddling of the American Mind. Are we over-coddling our children by putting them in these situations where they have to go through virtual reality in order to learn simple things that you and I learned as kids?
So it's not always so simple.
Okay.
Right? If every child could just learn it the way that you and I did,
yeah,
then... the social world would be really easy to navigate.
Right. Well, you guys use this technology and innovation for a lot of children that are special needs, right?
Yes.
Children that are on the spectrum, perhaps, other things that have affected their brain in order to help them to, you know, process these social situations better, right?
Yes. So we work with a wide range of ability children. And so these are kids that may have neurodevelopmental differences like autism, ADHD, social anxiety. But then we have a whole group of kids whose parents are just concerned. They see that their kids aren't developing the confidence that they need to be able to reach out socially, that their friendship groups maybe are very limited, if at all. And we really want to give these families hope because the social world can be so daunting.
It's brutal. Right? It can be very brutal.
Absolutely. And if we're not equipped, if we don't have cognitive strategies to reason and problem solve our way through it, then we can become a really easy target.
So what are some of the main reasons that parents reach out to you?
So one of the main reasons is usually they've hit their limit. So they've tried so much already, right? They've done different types of support groups.
And they're out of gas.
They're just done.
Yeah.
And they're looking for a solution that is actually going to equip their child to be independent. Mm. That's the number one thing that parents ask us for is, can you help our kid do this on their own?
Yeah. Maria?
Yes, ma'am.
I was wondering, like, when you say they get to their limit, are the children being bullied? Are they just not leaving the house? I mean, because I mean, I know I've had, you know, some kids have a couple of friends growing up and they're their friends for life, but they may not be the most popular person. Like, what causes a parent to get that upset?
So traditionally, it's when they're struggling managing their daily life.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting in trouble at school. Right. Socially, we see a lot of kids that don't have the regulation and reasoning skills to control their tempers, to control what comes out of their mouths.
Mm-hmm.
And then they find themselves in these disciplinary situations, being sent to in-school suspension, out-of-school suspension, expulsion. And we're never teaching them how to actually manage their emotions and think through these situations so that they can respond in a more pro-social way.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons that parents would reach out. Another one is parents that are really wanting their child to be able to excel. They want to be able to take that next step. And this is when we talk about resiliency. Bullying, physical aggression, relational aggression is so prevalent in every walk of life. But when we look at different types of peer groups, we really see kind of middle school and transitions from high school into college as being two key areas of brain development and social experience change.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've got so many things are going through my brain right now. This is such a fascinating subject. It really is. So, you know, we're focusing on children, though. So during like the teen years and the brain is evolving through that process, how does the brain actually change during adolescence?
Immensely. So okay. What we end up seeing during adolescence, so you all have experienced the 13-year-old, the 12-year-old.
Yeah, I have one right now.
Okay, me too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they are just off the wall, all over the place, yeah. right? And so what's actually happening with their brain is that it's undergoing transformation.
Uh-huh.
So they have all of these neural connections that they were born with. And throughout their childhood experiences, they've grown and grown and grown. And now it's time to prune away so that we can get rid of the irrelevant information, we can block out the distractions, and we can focus on what's important.
Mm-hmm.
So just as we do that behaviorally, our brain is kind of mimicking that same behavior. It's getting rid of all of the connections that we haven't been using, that we don't need anymore, so that it can solidify the ones that we are.
Mm-hmm.
This is why it's so important to be able to educate and build awareness around what is social and how are we teaching it to our kids and not just expecting them to be it.
Wow. Do you have room in your program for people out there listening that are perhaps, you know, at their wit's end that could use your help or the help from the Center for Brain Health or the Brain Performance
yes.
Institute?
Yes, please come see us.
We
offer complimentary consultations to any family that
really?
Reaches out.
Oh,
absolutely.
Nice.
We want to be a resource for you. And so if we are able to connect with you, discover what's going on in your journey as a parent. You know, mom, if you're out there and you're just wondering, well, how is this program different from any other social skills program I've put my child through? They've been through a lot. We are a personalized program that is going to give your child the strategies that they need that will last them a lifetime. So please reach out. We'd be happy to talk to you.
Wow. That's such a great service that you guys yes. are offering to anyone out there listening. I mean, we're in Houston as well and California. Anyone out there listening? What did you want to say real quick?
Yes, that's the beauty of virtual reality is that we can reach you anywhere. We are remote cloud-based platforms. So all across the country, we're changing lives. Please reach
nice.
Out.
Nice. All right. So reach out to Maria Johnson at brainperformanceinstitute.org. Such a pleasure to have you in studio this afternoon. Thank you so much, Maria. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. Great to have the whole staff here today. And you know what? Get out there today, this weekend. Today is Friday. Have a good day, a good evening, and a good weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday. We've got some great stuff coming up next week you're not going to want to miss, and I don't have time to tell you about it right now. So, you know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there and make the most of it.